AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big day of League and League Cup action. Motherwell are the first team through to the semis. We'll find out today if the likes of Rangers, Dundee, Aberdeen or Spartans will join them. There's a huge game in the Premiership, two huge games in fact, St Mirren taking on Hearts and Ross County welcoming St Johnstone. And tomorrow, who will keep up their blistering start to the season, Celtic or Falkirk? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me today you have Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Philippe Clement has called for calm and consensus at Ibrox as the battle for control of Rangers gets underway. He'll be calling for a taxi if Rangers lose to Dundee in the League Cup at 5:30 this evening. A homecoming can't be accompanied by an eviction from the only competition that Rangers won last season. But day of drama in Glasgow and district. We have cornered the market in excitement in the Championship. Queen's Park take on second top Ayr United. Partick Thistle have a cracker at home to Dunfermline. And in Paisley, Stephen Naismith must get a first league win for Hearts against St Mirren, or it'll be question time in the capital. If Tony Bloom, the king of the stats at Brighton, wants to put £10 million into Tynecastle, he would really rather Hearts weren't rock bottom of the league at the same time. Great day.
Yep, some interesting fixtures all across the weekend, starting last night, carrying on this afternoon, into this evening and then tomorrow afternoon. But, you know, quarterfinal of the Cup and then some crucial games in the Premiership already. Hugh's right, for Stephen Naismith, today is huge, as it is up in Dingwall for St Johnstone and Ross County, and then tomorrow Celtic v Falkirk. Two teams that started very well, but one of them's got to go through, yeah. One's got to go out.
Good weekend of football, Mark, I've got to say. Motherwell first team in the hat for Hampden. Who will join them? We'll find out today and tomorrow, and other interesting games. And I think all eyes, especially if you're involved with Hearts, will be in Paisley.
Brilliant time of the season this, Mark, because Champions League football came back for Celtic, getting back in a big way, you'd have to say, looking at the way they went about their business. And then in the coming weeks, Rangers and Hearts will join in. But it's been an impressive busy week in Scottish football.
It certainly has, and I think it's a time of year that we all like. The first international break is out the way, and we get right back into the domestic action, followed by European action. So a real busy time for players and managers. This is why they assemble big squads throughout the summer. It's not for the start of the season, it's for this period from now until Christmas. What's excitement?
Yeah, of course. And I think also a high watermark for Brendan Rodgers on Wednesday night at Celtic Park. The total justification of the manager nudging the board towards making that record signing of Arne Engels. Celtic second top of that Champions League table, with only Bayern, 9-goal Bayern, above them. So it is good for Scotland's prestige. You can go on about the Bratislava team and whether they had the quality necessary for the Champions League or not, but your obligation is to look at the quality of Celtic's performance.
Good week.
Yeah, terrific. I think especially we got a lot of phone calls on Thursday about the performance of Celtic in the Wednesday night's game. They were excellent, Gordon, you've got to say, every single one of them. They could have scored a lot more than five, and obviously it was a terrific start to their European campaign. It's all about the Cup this weekend, and Motherwell got off to a great one last night.
Oh yes, they did. I'm glad I made the journey for the second half after last night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But more about that later on. Motherwell fans, you can get in touch, let us know how you're feeling after last night. One team through already, we'll find out later today. So the two cup games are the later kickoffs: Rangers against Dundee, Aberdeen against the Spartans. So we've got league football to take care of first. I was going to start in Paisley because I think that's game of the day for us in this part of the world. But one or two technical issues there. Let's go to David Friel for Ross County against managerless St Johnstone, David.
Yeah, Gordon, as the guys were saying, big game, and what an eventful week for St Johnstone has been. I think, first of all, we wish Adam Webb all the best, the club's new owner, in his health battle. Hope he's back in Perth very soon. But you have to imagine St Johnstone are regretting the decision to rearrange this game for today. It was originally meant to be played in early December. That agreement was made to ease fixture congestion down the line. Both teams out of League Cup, it made sense, but it does appear to have backfired on St Johnstone. They arrive in Dingwall without a manager. Craig Levine sacked this week after a horrendous run of results. Andy Kirk will take charge today, and he'll name his son in his first starting lineup. St Johnstone, because of that, they're without their two main strikers, Adama Sidibe, Benji Kimpioka, both banned for this game. So it's been a bit of a nightmare week. St Johnstone have lost four in a row. They've lost five of the last six league games. I think that's why Craig Levine lost his job. Remarkably, they aren't bottom of the league, but they are big underdogs today. County have hardly been in top form. They'd gone five without winning before last week's 2-0 win over Dundee. That was pretty impressive. I think there have been signs that Don Cowie's starting to get a tune out of this team. I think they're going to fancy their chances of securing back-to-back league wins for the first time since last December. County have made just one change. Ryan Leake, he's in for the injured George Harmon. Saints have made two changes. Mackenzie Kirk, as I mentioned, only 20, son of Andy, he's in for Kimpioka, and Jack Sanders also replaces Aaron Esso at the back. So let's run through the teams. County looks like a 3-4-1-2 formation. Ross Laidlaw in goals, Akil Wright, Ryan Leake and Casper Lapata at the back, James Brown, Josh Nisbet, Connor Randall, Eli Campbell across the middle, with Noah Chilvers in behind Roran Hale and Jordan White. Subs for County are Hamilton, Latoury, Greaves, Denham, Telfer, Ifeti, Samuel, Brophy and Smith. As for St Johnstone, it's a 3-5-2 formation. Ross Sinclair in goals, back three of Jack Sanders, Kyle Cameron and Lewis Nielsen, Dre Wright, Matt Smith, Jason Holt, Sven Sprangler and Andre Raymond across the middle, with Nicky Clark and young Mackenzie Kirk up front. Subs for St Johnstone are Ray McPherson, Carey, Esso, Kucharavi, McPake, Keltins, Bright and Dare. The referee in Dingwall is Dan McFarlane, and the VAR is Greg Aitken.
Yeah, well, it was a busy weekend on the VAR front last weekend. Let's see what we have got in store for us this afternoon. I think we've got Fraser Wishart back in Paisley. And Fraser, how big a game is this, particularly for the visitors today?
Yeah, it seems like every week we're talking about must-win games. Last week I was at Hibs, you know, and you get the feeling from the Hibs supporters that it was a must-win game, and the same, just talking to a couple of Hearts fans outside and a few people in the media here as well. I think if we know that if Hearts lose today, the pressure will just build on everyone at the club, including Stephen Naismith, because both teams come here on a poor run of results. St Mirren themselves, home team, haven't won in seven games since the opening day here when they hammered Hibs, while Hearts haven't won a competitive game this season. In fact, they've lost seven in a row, which is amazing, since they drew with Rangers at Tynecastle on the opening day of the season, and they played well, and we all thought they were going to be challenging at the top, but they sit at the bottom of the table after five games. It's hard to understand when you look at their squad. Good quality, really good depth, and they've invested in the summertime, so it's really hard to understand why the form has been so poor. Stephen Naismith's chopped and changed personnel information to try and find that elusive win, but with Lauren Shankland still to find his best form this season as well, it's been a struggle in front of goal. Only two goals in those seven games, and Hearts fans who fill the away end once again will be looking for better from their team. From a Swindon perspective, three draws and four defeats in those last seven games. The problem has been hanging on to the lead in the last couple of games. It's 2-2 draws at Dundee and last week here at Killie. But in both games, St Mirren were ahead and they just couldn't hang on to it. And that's a bit strange, because St Mirren have been a team who have always been known for being well organised and strong at the back. But they've lost a few goals, more than normal. And that's unusual for his team, Stephen Robinson, because I said they're always hard to beat. Defence has been disrupted, to be fair, with injuries like Tanza, Iacoviti and Taylor at the start of the season. Charles Dunn re-signed during the week and he is on the subs bench today. It's always a good atmosphere here to when Hearts come to town. Hopefully both sides find their best form, and if they do, we could be in for a real cracker here today. Team-wise, St Mirren are 3-5-2 formation, just one change. Idowu drops to the bench, in comes Phillips. So they go with Ellery Balcombe in goals, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor at the back. Five across the middle, Sean Rooney, Killian Phillips, Cullen Boyd Munns, Mark O'Hara and Jaden Brown, with Toyosi Olasanya and Mikael Mandron as the strikers. The substitutes, Peter Ominski, Scott Tanzer, Johnny Younger, Oisin Smith, Roland Idowu, James Scott, Charles Dunn, Elvis Buomono and Kevin Van Veen. Just the one change for Hearts as well from that defeat at Celtic Park last week, and it's attacking one. Kai Rowles, the centre-back, drops to the bench and in comes Blair Spittle. It looks like it could be a 4-2-3-1 formation. Craig Gordon in goals, Gerard Taylor, Craig Halkett, Stephen Kingsley and James Penrice at the back, Benny Beningame and Malachi Boateng in midfield, with Kenneth Vargas, George Grant and Blair Spittle behind the lone striker Lawrence Shankland. Their substitutes are Alexander Clark, Daniel Ogioke, Yutara Oda, Cammy Devlin, Kai Rolls, Alan Forrest, Jan Danda, Liam Boyce and Musa Drami. And the referee today in Paisley is Don Robertson, and the VAR is Stephen McLean.
Where's it going wrong for Hearts? Fraser, you hear suggestions or accusations, I should say, that, you know, the formation changes too much, and maybe the new signings who looked good on paper have not been used or utilised properly. The performance against Celtic probably was better, but then again, that's a different type of challenge, isn't it? And then today becomes one where your fans expect you to go on the front foot and really try and win the game.
Yeah, but I think after last season they were so good, and the supporters rightly demand a bit better from their team. And it's been poor, and it's a poor run. And when you get into a run like this, it's very difficult to find a way out of it. And I think it's probably fair criticism about chopping and changing the formations and the personnel, but sometimes you have to do that to try and just find a winning formation, find a formula that's going to get you that win. I've seen Hearts, I saw them play against Falkirk in the Cup earlier on this season, and they were brilliant for half an hour. They were absolutely brilliant. They could have been and should have been 4 or 5 ahead, but then when they lost a goal, the heads went down and there was the tempo dropped from their game as well. So confidence is the hardest thing for any manager to put into players. You know, even like Lauren Shankland, player of the year last year, away to the Euros, playing for Scotland, his confidence has just dropped a wee bit as well. But just one good performance and one goal from Lauren Shankland, and all of a sudden the team might just get that lift. And I've got a wee feeling they might get that win today. I think it's a type of game, a big travelling support, the pitch is looking fantastic. Tam Docherty, the groundsman, does a great job here. I think it might just suit Hearts to play this game away from home and away from their own supporters. So I've got a wee feeling that Hearts might just sneak this one by the odd goal.
Well, it's not scaremongering, it's not sensationalism, but Hearts had better do something today. They have had a shocking season so far, 7 defeats in a row, out of the League Cup to Falkirk, no goals for Lauren Shankland, bottom of the table. They have to turn the corner, otherwise they'll get somebody else to turn the corner for them.
I would agree with that. And you go back further, when was the last time Hearts won a game? You know, I include pre-season in that as well. They've had a horrendous start to the season. Usually you pick up a win somewhere along the line, and Fraser's right, that just dents the confidence. Every week that goes by, you need to somehow find a way of halting that kind of form. But I'm with Fraser today. I think they've got it in them to get a result at St Mirren and kickstart their season.
I think they'll struggle. I think they're low in confidence. I don't think that Stephen Naismith knows his best starting 11. He changes the formation occasionally. They lose too many goals. I fancy that that'll be a difficult game. Great opportunity for St Mirren if they win to leapfrog into top 6 again. So I think I'm looking at St Mirren to win that today.
Well, it'd be a bad result for Naismith. You know, as I said, Tony Bloom, the Brighton owner, £10 million investment. Hearts should bite his hand off for that money. But he might even look at the league table and look at the run of results and wonder if he's really doing the right thing. So they need some positivity thrown into the mix here. St Mirren have gone into this bang average phase. It's not happening for Stephen Robinson, not since the first day of the season when they looked terrific against an admittedly poor Hibs side on the day. But I tend to go with the Dazzler. I just don't think that you can turn it on and off like a switch, and Hearts are in a poor place on a consistently bad run. So not the place you would choose to go looking for that corner to be turned.
What I think Fraser can guarantee to you, just looking at the league table, I say that Hearts lose a lot of goals, so do St Mirren. So I think Fraser will get an entertaining game with plenty of goals.
Sometimes, Fraser, when we discuss investment coming in, it's a bit of an unknown quantity and people are not quite sure, but Tony Bloom comes, or his scouting system I should say, comes with an incredible proof of effectiveness, and you can see why Hearts fans have got their hopes up, I guess, on that front.
Well, Hearts have been looking all over the world for players, haven't they? Particularly into Central America. They've been signing the likes of Taylor, and they signed Vargas before as well, but they've signed players from Australia. So it's all over the world now that clubs are looking for players. And if you've got somebody like Tony Bloom, who's got a system in place that seems to be, you know, all of it's based on analysis and statistics and videos, etc. If you've got somebody that can show you that success, then why not try and embrace that? I mean, I know figures are thrown around at 10 million. I don't think any of us really know what that actually means. I mean, Hearts are owned by the supporters, and the supporters rescued the club from death. Really, it was going bust at one point, you know. So I don't think the Hearts fans will want to change that. But if you've got a link with Brighton, and Tony Bloom's company are looking at players across the world, they might get players that are maybe not good enough for Brighton, but they'll be good enough for Hearts, you know. So that kind of tie-in might just help them. But that's longer term. The immediacy of this is they need a win, and they need to start the game well, and they need to get ahead, because if they lose a goal when you're constantly fragile and they're a bad run, the heads go down quickly. So the first 25 minutes of this game are going to be key.
Right, let's dip into the Championship for our other featured 3 o'clock game. Queen's Park taking on Ayr United. Roger Hanna's there.
Yeah, and the Spiders are here as well. Back at Hampden, Gordon, they were shunted next door to the City Stadium. Well, Rangers temporarily used the stadium, but Callum Davidson's side return today against a man who, of course, is no stranger to this stadium, Scott Brown. He won 6 Scottish Cups and 7 League Cups here as a player, and he'd love another triumph today. A draw or a win would return Browns Ayr United to the top of the Championship, with the current leaders Falkirk on Premier Sports Cup quarter-final duty at Celtic Park tomorrow. Ayr did win twice here last season and scored 7 goals in the process, and they're on a 9-match unbeaten run in all competitions. They do have injury problems, though. They can't fill the bench this afternoon, which makes it intriguing. But also, Queen's Park have injury problems. Their captain, their talisman, Dom Thomas, misses out. He's got a thigh problem. And so too does Nicola Ujdur, the centre-half who arrived from Inverness in the summer. So there's a couple of changes from the side that beat Morton last week. The goal with Callum Ferry in goal. He'll also take the captain's armband. So back four, Cammy Kerr, Will Tizard, who comes in for Ujdur, Dane Murray on loan from Celtic, and Joshua Scott. Midfield, Jack Turner, Sean Welsh and Roddy McGregor, with Ryan Duncan and Josh Hines, who's making a first Queen's Park start today, supporting lone frontman Zach Rodden. On the bench, Wills, McKenzie and Colley, Fieldson, Longridge and McDonald, McLeish and Hickey Fugaccia. The big injury news, though, is bad injury news for Ayr United. Their top scorer, Anton Dowds, 9 goals in 11 games, player of the month in the Championship in August. He came off last week in the draw against Partick Thistle. We're hearing it's a bad knee ligament injury, and it could be out for a lengthy period of time. Scott Brown, of course, already without Jamie Murphy, Mikey Devlin, Scott McMahon and others. He's only got 6 on the bench this afternoon, and he's also throwing in a third goalkeeper in the last 3 games. 19-year-old Liam Russell makes a debut, released by Queen's Park here in the summer. He starts in goal, so it's Russell in goal, back four, Dylan Watchett, George Stanger, Nick McAllister and Paddy Redding. Across the middle, Jay Henderson, the skipper, Ben Dempsey, Ryan Howley and Jake Hasty. And up top, George Oakley will be partnered by 18-year-old Alfie Bavage on loan from Aberdeen. On the bench, McIntyre, Musonda, Silla, McKenzie, Hislop and Walker. And the referee at the National Stadium, Gordon, is Ian Sneddon.
And just quickly, Roger, a look around the Championship. It's a massive day. Partick Thistle welcoming Dunfermline, who got that good win last Friday night. Raith Rovers need a win at Accies. Obviously, the ongoing situation with J. Emmanuel Thomas is not really one we can speculate and chat about on here, but he's no longer a Morton player as they welcome Airdrie. So massive day in the Championship.
Yes, it really is. Ayr will look for the win here. They'll want to get back to the top of the table, but absolutely beset by injuries. And if Anton Dowds is, as we fear, out for a lengthy period of time, that will have major implications for Scott Brown's hopes of winning this Championship title this season.
Yes, lots to look forward to at this stage on a Saturday. Once we've given you the team news, we usually take a look at some of the other big stories away from the 3 o'clock kickoffs, and we will do that next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel, Hugh Keevans in the studio, the top team round the grounds. It's a bit of a strange weekend scheduling wise. We've had 1 League Cup quarter final last night, 2 to come later this evening, 1 to come tomorrow, and a couple of big Premiership games as well. So plenty to look back on. And speaking of which, what a good place to start. Last night, Gordon Dalziel, I went along after the show. I couldn't see you there. I have to say, but maybe it was because it was so busy.
I was waving,
and I had a lot of inquiries asking me if you were there. So could you just?
I was sitting right across from me. I went in with
another stand. Did you?
Yeah, I was in the other one. Okay. So what? Eight plus thousand there last night. What an atmosphere! Brilliant game. Terrific goals. Got to say, terrific goals. And Motherwell steal it right at the end with a terrific penalty.
Well, how lucky are you? If you live 100 yards away, you've got that on your doorstep. Yeah. And just to rock up to and go, and it home early as well. So brilliant. He's so lucky. But he's right, what a game it was. Well, I didn't see it because I had other pressing matters, but I saw the highlights and some great goals. And well done, Motherwell.
Yeah, we said Fraser Wishart. It was, you know, one of those ties where it had everything really going for it. That kind of Friday night feel, a huge community effort. You know, literally the CEO of the club putting leaflets through people's door along with fans to try and get a big crowd, a big travelling support, and it just, it had all the makings of a brilliant cup tie.
Yeah, I mean, a team obviously close to my heart. A couple of spells there when I played, and I know how close Motherwell are to their community, and it's trying to get that wee bit of extra support in here. I'm at St Mirren, where when Tony Fitzpatrick came in, he was doing all the rallying calls as well when they won the championship, near the bottom of the championship, and all of a sudden the team's been successful and the crowd comes back. So it was good to see a bigger crowd there than normal at Motherwell, and they've just turned that team over. I mean, so many signings, but it's just beginning to take shape, and Motherwell fans will enjoy a trip to Hampden, whoever they get, and it'll be a big day for the supporters in a month or two.
And it's sort of hard, Roger Hannah, you don't want to just keep going overboard, but then Lennon Miller keeps doing good things and you're obliged to talk about him.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I saw he scored his first goal for the Scotland under-21s during the international break, Gordon, and you need a bit of calmness, you need a bit of composure, you need a bit of confidence to step up in the dying seconds of a cup quarter final in front of your own fans and take that penalty kick, score the penalty kick, and send your team here to Hampden for a cup semi-final.
Yeah, who's your bottle, Hugh Evans?
Well, you know, he's ripe for a January transfer move away from Fir Park. He's just building up nicely, Lennon Miller. He's an outstanding talent. I applaud Motherwell for the effort that went into drawing that crowd last night. They're in the last four. They'll be joined by Rangers, Celtic and Aberdeen by the close of play tomorrow, and then Motherwell will find out who they get in the semi-final. So they did well, they got that place in the last four. You can ask no more, but whoever's in the last four, they'll need to beat Celtic to win the cup.
A sore one for Dundee United, David Friel, 2,500 coming down the road. A brilliant effort for them on a Friday night, and young loanee Lucas Stevenson, he's actually been pretty good since he came, but just a moment of madness diving in and giving that penalty away.
Yeah, and obviously there was no VAR last night, Gordon, but I don't even think Jim Goodwin was going to complain about that one yet. It was just a rash moment from an inexperienced player. There was no need to do it, there was no need to dive in. Moses Abui, he actually really made an impact when he came on, and it was a great run out of the box, but yeah, a bit rash. But to talk about Lennon Miller's composure, I don't think anybody doubted he was going to score. He just looks as if he was on a kick about the back, and I know what Hugh's saying, he is probably ripe for a January transfer, but I really hope he sees the season out of Motherwell. I think Motherwell fans should enjoy him while he's here, but I'd love to see him stay for the full season, get another 40 games under his belt, and then make a huge move for his career.
So the quality of the goals, Mark, Louis Moult coming back, Motherwell fans, when he came on, there was that sense of, you know, he's going to score here, you know, he's going to come back and sort of haunt Motherwell. What a goal it was. Zach Robinson's not found goals easy to come by since he went to Motherwell. That was a stunning strike. So, look, the first half wasn't brilliant, wasn't great football, but actually a composed penalty to win it, and two stunning goals as well.
Without doubt, when you look at the technique of both of them, particularly Moult's, an incredibly hard action to pull off. It was a fantastic goal, but the first one as well, you're right, Robinson's goal was well taken. But we were chatting about St Johnson the other week there, and them locking out fans, and how aesthetically it looks, and it looks poor for the league, and we were saying, well, it doesn't matter if St Johnson can cover the cost of that. But there is an argument. You watched that game, or I saw the highlights of that game. Everything about it looked good. You know, the goals were good, the crowd was good, the celebrations at the end were exactly what you want to see on your TV screen. So everybody should take, you know, great plaudits from that. Motherwell is a club, United is away fans, the players for producing those big moments in the game. And like you say, young Lennon Miller standing up there in the 90 plus minute with that pressure over you and tuck it away so easy. Fantastic spectacle for our game last night.
In a week in which the figures showed that more people go to watch matches in the Premiership in Scotland than in any other major league in Europe, it was a terrific way to highlight why. Because community clubs do attract bigger and bigger crowds as they go along. Hearts have shown it since they survived what Fraser said, you know, was near death as a club. Kilmarnock continue to grow. Motherwell clearly continue to grow. St Mirren. So last night was a perfect
example of why per capita more people go to watch our top league than anybody else.
Big one for Stuart Kettlewell, Gordon, because there were times last season when on that long winless run and it looked like maybe Motherwell would pull the trigger, showed good patience, and then you can see why, because they stayed up pretty comfortably and in fact were, you know, looking really to the top six towards the end of the season, and to then take Motherwell to the semi-final a couple of months later.
Yeah, it's been terrific. And you're looking at, they're sitting fifth in the league, so they've got off to a good start. They had a lot of changes in the summer, brought in a lot of players. Sometimes that takes a little while just to, for everything to gel. But it was a terrific game, terrific atmosphere. Motherwell worked very hard at getting new supporters, I'll call them, through the door, by getting out there and putting leaflets and, you know, promoting the game. Obviously the prices were well down, and it was worth it because it was a terrific Friday night. And you quite rightly say, Gordon, they'll have one eye on Sunday to see who they get at Hampden. And if you're looking at the fixtures, you're hoping it's Aberdeen.
I'm glad I didn't regret the journey. I ditched my car not too far from your flat, actually. Ran up towards the stadium just to remind myself of how unfit I actually am. I could feel myself struggling a little bit. And then I heard Zach Robinson's goal hit the back of the net before I could make it into the stadium. A turn of pace is like you in the 90s is what I needed. Just if I was just that bit quicker, I would have seen the first goal.
Well, that's the difference. I used to destroy that Airbus Hotel when my heyday, Gordon. I'd have been in for about 10 minutes prior to you.
Exactly. But all was well in the end. And of course, Roger Hanna, Motherwell the first team through, and we find out this evening if Rangers or Dundee will join them. Significantly, a match played at Ibrox. Who would have thought that would be the big story of the day?
Yeah, very much so. Back at Ibrox, 3.5 stands over, I think, the top tier of the Copeland is still closed. May remain closed for the Hibernian game next weekend as well, depending on how the work goes through this week, Gordon. You would think, after that win at Saturday's last week, just the boost of getting back on their own territory would be enough for Rangers to see off at the D side. It started brightly but lost at Dingwall last week, and look as if they're still coming to terms with the loss of their captain, Luke McCowan, to Celtic. I tend to agree with you. I think Rangers will go through. I think Aberdeen will see off Spartans, who have done terrifically well to get to their first ever senior quarter final. And I think Celtic, even with 8, 9, 10, 11 changes, will probably have too much for Falkirk tomorrow.
I think the hope has to be, if you're associated with Rangers, Fraser Wishart, that this does spark something. This return to Ibrox, it's clearly not been an ideal situation, far from it, but that it now somehow causes an upturn in form. It's not like Hampden was devastating in terms of losing loads of games. It was just really the Dynamo Kiev one. But maybe just still at a time where you're looking for that extra boost, maybe going back to Ibrox can be it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like a restart to the season for Rangers, and they'll be hoping it's like that, because everything that could go wrong has gone wrong so far, you know, in terms of losing Europe, etc., and losing their chairman and losing their chief executive, going, haven't been able to replace him. Players have left as well. They've lost big games. So they want this to be like a restart, and I think the fans will enjoy it. I mean, there's a pal of mine who has got a season ticket in the main stand, and he's almost in touching distance of where we sit in the media. He's got a brilliant seat, and then at Hampden he was right down at the front, you know. So the fans will be going back to their own seats to get back to seeing the people they know as well, and the Rangers will be hoping that this is going to be a kickstart to their season. But the players have got to do better on the park, you know. I said at the start of the season I didn't think Hampden was enough of a reason for them to have poor performances. You know, the players are used to playing at Hampden, they're big name players, so they have to produce better. And I think a game at home today against Dundee, I think it's a good chance for them to put in a good performance and rattle in a few goals.
Yeah, we had this debate at the time, Roger, about, you know, how much impact will it have. But it was interesting to hear from Tom Lawrence yesterday, who said that they probably didn't realise how much they were going to miss it until it was gone. And you know, now having experienced it, probably realising that it was a bit more detrimental to them than they would have anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember, Gordon, at the start of the season, I spoke to Andy Walker, formerly of Celtic, who was in the Celtic team that played here at Hampden that season back in 94-95 when Celtic Park was being renovated by Fergus McCann. And Andy Walker said the players didn't like it. It was completely different. Everything was alien. Even, you know, silly things like where they sat in the dressing room and, you know, where they came out to warm up and where the supporters were in comparison to where they had been at Celtic Park. He said they didn't like it. And I suspected that Rangers players would find that. And Tom Lawrence just really confirmed it yesterday. They will be pleased to get back. Philip Clement, I think he said it felt as if they'd been away for 10 years think today's 130 days. It's an awful long time to be out your house, Gordon.
Let's cut to the chase here. These are delicate times for Rangers. There's a power struggle underway within the club. Philippe Clement yesterday said a club that was disunited could not be successful. He also said he's not a politician, not a director, and therefore he cannot influence what's going on in the background. But there is a power struggle underway, and what Philippe Clement can influence is whether Rangers on the park add to the controversy off the park or not. They have to win this game tonight, because any other result is unthinkable for Clement.
Yeah, I have to say, it felt like a very diluted journey back in time. Roger Hanna, when I went to Philippe Clement's press conference yesterday, there was a time when it was a regular occurrence. You would rock up, and rather than asking the manager about formations or who was fit, you'd ask him who the chairman was going to be or who he thought should take over the club. And it was sort of a fresh reminder when Philippe Clement just pointed out that not really his business. It used to be commonplace, that stuff at Rangers, but maybe just a less extreme version of it at the moment.
Yeah, but we discussed in the show on Monday night, Gordon. I think it's been very unfair in Philippe Clement at a time when he's probably got enough issues to deal with on the field of play, that he was having to field questions week in, week out about, you know, the steel deliveries to Ibrox and whether there's been any progress and a chief executive coming in and what's happening with the interim chairman and, you know, what's happening with the calls for an EGM that Dave King's been asking for this week. I'm not sure that's necessarily what Philippe Clement signed up for when he came to the club last October. He will look forward greatly to the day when we all pop along on a Friday and just ask him whether it's going to be 4-3-3 or 4-4-2 and who's got a hamstring injury and whether he thinks it'll be 0-0 at the weekend. He'll want to get back to the football, and Rangers need him to get back to the football. They've lost heavily to Celtic. They're off the pace in the league. They're out the Champions League. They couldn't countenance going out the Premier Sports Cup today.
Incidentally, where are we on a potential Dave King return? Something you can see, can't see? How do you feel?
I'm not sure there's too much appetite within the current boardroom at Ibrox for Dave King to return as chairman. He has got 14% of the stock. He would need at an AGM, you know, he build it through the week, let the fans decide. That's too simplistic, Gordon. You don't let the fans, it's the shareholders who will decide an AGM who's going to be the board, who's going to be the chairman. So I think Dave King still over in South Africa. I can't see him coming back in any major role anytime soon.
But on the pitch tonight, Hugh, you're expecting Rangers. We can obviously get to it in a bit more detail. We'll get team news and so on a bit later, but expecting Philippe Clement's side to book their place in the last four?
I do. I think Roger touched upon it earlier on. Luke McCowan's departure from Dundee to sign for Celtic has had an effect. They lost to Ross County last weekend. Ross County, who have had quite shocking season so far, going out of the League Cup to the Spartans, a team from three divisions beneath them, the 6-0 loss to Rangers, but Dundee contrived to lose to them. So I cannot make a logical case for Tony Docherty's side at Ibrox tonight.
Feels like a couple of weeks ago maybe you could make that case. I'm not saying it's disappeared completely, but things do shift a bit, don't they, Gordon, when Luke McCowan leaves and Rangers do get back to winning ways. And as we've alluded to, the game's back at Ibrox for a start.
Yeah, they're still in the top six, so, you know, they'll go there with a bit of confidence. They've still got decent players. Obviously, they lost their most talented one to Celtic. But I'm with you. I think that Rangers will get us very confident back at Ibrox. You know, their home comforts again. The players have no excuses whatsoever. I think Rangers will butt for it, and I think Rangers will be in the hat tomorrow.
Okay, we've got big games to take care of before that though, and we go back around the grounds ahead of the 3 o'clock games next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson in the studio. The top team round the grounds, and we've got lots of football to look forward to this afternoon, this evening, and then on to tomorrow. Of course, we'll go to Ibrox. Not said that this season. We'll go to Ibrox and give you the build up and the team news a bit later on. Let's stick with our 3 o'clock games first and foremost. St Mirren taking on Hearts. Fraser Wishart is there. And Fraser, as a man who's expressed one or two concerns about VAR in the past, you'll be hoping for a quieter day in Paisley than David Friel got this time last week.
Yeah, I think David's pen was run out of ink by the end of the day, and seeing the highlights as well, there was just controversy everywhere. Refereeing decisions, players misbehaving, some good goals as well, and a great atmosphere with Kilmarnock bringing a good crowd as well. So more of the same would do for me, actually. You know, four goals, an exciting game. That's really what you're looking for here, you know. But for Hearts, I think they definitely need to start winning. Just looking at their fixtures coming up, I mean, I think if they lose today, I don't see Stephen Naismith losing his job, unless it's a heavy defeat. You know, it's a really heavy, it's a bad one. But they do have some difficult ones coming up. They've got Ross County home next week. Then after that, they've got a trip to Kazakhstan when they're playing Dynamo Minsk, of course, in Europe. And then they come back from that Thursday game to playing Aberdeen on the Sunday. And that's a huge game. They're already 14 points behind Aberdeen, which is amazing at this stage in the season. So almost their chances of being in the top three are going to be decided. If they're going to have a chance or not in the next few weeks. And of course, they've got European ties as well in the mix, which you always want. But that just adds to the pressure and the rotation of the squad as well. But as I said earlier, I do think they'll win the game today. And you're just looking at their team, they've got good players everywhere, creative players in the attacking third. And Lauren Shanklin's too good a player not to score goals as well. So I think they'll win by the odd goal here today. But if I got the excitement David Field got last week, that would keep me happy.
Well, speaking of the pandemonium in Paisley last week, Fraser, actually a development this week, and the Scottish FA will now publish weekly reviews of refereeing decisions. It's the Key Match Incident Review Panel, a 5-person panel looking at incidents from the top flight games. They did them all from last week. They published them all, a sort of green and red system, you know, judging whether the on-field refereeing team got it right initially, and then ultimately what was the outcome from VAR. And what do you know, the only incident from last week that the panel said was wrong on-field and wrong in the VAR was that Sean Rooney one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the one that everybody was looking at as well. And I think Sean was very lucky not to get a red card, and I'm surprised VAR didn't get involved. But I think from my day job at PFA Scotland, I think Willie Collins came in and hit the ground running. I've spoken to him, I met with him and Michael Devlin, our chair, the player who came along as well. And he was very open and very transparent, and he wants to be that type of guy, as you know, because you do the monthly show as well that's going to be on online, and we are working with them to get these panel members together. So we've recommended a whole host of former players who are actually still active in the media as well. And I spoke to one of the panel members, it's all very confidential, I spoke to one of the panel members from during the week, and they said it was fantastic, they learned a lot. But John Moss, who's kind of running that side of VAR and the reviews, etc., he was very open to just honest opinions. You know, they're not wanting people are just going to agree with the referees, but they're not wanting people to go and give an honest opinion as well. So I'm really interested to see how this goes. Certainly Willie Collins was very open and welcoming, and we're going to get arranged meetings with current players as well throughout the season. So that for me is a big step forward in building the relationships with the referees from the players' perspective.
There is a narrative, there you are, I said it, there is a narrative that referees, since the introduction of VAR, have subconsciously let the machinery do their job for them. And that's why I was shocked by what happened with Sean Rooney, because Matthew McDermott, the referee, first and foremost, yes, VAR was to blame for not reminding him that he had missed something and had made a real mistake. But we have to insist that the referees up their game. That's why they're there in the first place. And he was standing looking directly at the incident between Sean and Vassell.
Would you not say the crime is when VAR misses it? Because ultimately refs can, and I don't know if this is the case, but generally speaking, somebody might just come across your vision, you might not quick instant, you might not see it. But that is why VAR's there. So that's the failsafe. That's the bit that's meant to get it right.
Yeah, I'm not absolving them in any way. But referees have to be up to the job as well. And he was looking straight at it. Nothing obstructed his view.
But I don't think we know that, is what I'm saying. You'll never be able to tell exactly what he saw. But what you can tell is what the VAR saw.
Well,
because you see the same as them.
But the incident went on for some time and involved two different lunges at the same player. And no wonder Derek McInnes was appalled by it all. But yes, VAR is supposed to
rule out that kind of error, and it did not. And that's why a weekly review, Willie Collum had better hope that the weekly review doesn't turn into a weekly embarrassment.
Yeah, David Field, you were there. You've seen the fallout, I'm sure. David Field, you were there at the time. You're with us in the Highlands. Can you hear us loud and clear now?
Yeah, sorry, I can. I'm just on a few technical problems, Gordon. Yeah, the Sean Rooney one was a really, really odd one at the time. It was obviously we were at the press box over the other side. At the time, Matthew McDermott, we all assumed that nothing had really happened, that he'd kicked the ball, because Matthew McDermott wasn't sent to the screen. It wasn't until Derek McInnes obviously came in and went tonto, for want of a better expression, that we realised something big had happened. And yeah, I thought it was really interesting yesterday that everyone on the panel decided it should have been a red card. Clearly it should have been, but there will be no punishment for Sean Rooney, because I believe the time frame in which the compliance officer could step in, and that is still a thing, has now passed. So Sean Rooney won't be getting any punishment at all for that kick out at Kyle Vassell.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see the full list from last weekend. For what it's worth, that panel thought that the decision to take back the penalty awarded against Liam Scales was correct. They thought it was correct to give Celtic the penalty for the James Penrice handball, and so on. So just something that will be published every week, and we'll wait and see what this weekend has in store. Only a couple of games, of course, in the top flight. David Friel, I know you are having technical difficulties. Are you still with us?
Like, yeah, I'm
you you're still there. Let's take a quick look, because I know you're looking at Ross County St Johnstone, and we spoke generally about the on-field stuff today. Who are the names that we should be looking out for taking this job?
Well, that's the sort of unknown, because Adam Webb will still be leading the pursuit of the new manager, and I suppose the unknown is whether he takes someone from America, does he take someone from down south, he's obviously worked in English football before as well, or does he go for someone who has local knowledge. Now you look around, I think Peter Leaven is getting a mention, Scott Brown doing some good work at Ayr is getting a mention, Neil Lennon is obviously out of a job at the moment. You see someone that could come in and sort of light a fire under St Johnstone. But the one name that I do wonder about, and maybe it's a step back, but I do wonder about Tommy Wright. He's now working at Northern Ireland under 21s. I think he's doing a good job, and I just wonder whether Tommy Wright would have unfinished business at St Johnstone. I know he remains close to a lot of people at the club. I think he'd be a popular choice among the fans, and I do wonder whether there's a question to be asked of Tommy Wright over whether he would consider a return.
Yeah, Roger Hanna, it's not been, we've not been awash with names this week. Any names in particular grabbing your attention?
No, it's one of those decisions. I think it's difficult for the media to know who the next St Johnstone manager is going to be when the owner of St Johnstone doesn't know who the next St Johnstone manager is going to be. I think it's fair comment to look at the likes of Tommy Wright, as David said, the likes of Neil Lennon, guys, you know, Ian Murray, who was doing a very good job at Raith Rovers before a very surprise sacking earlier in the season. One I wonder that Adam Webb might look at would be Robbie Neilson, who did a terrific job twice at Hearts, brought Dundee United back from the Championship into the Premiership. He's currently working in the second tier in the United States. He's one of the people who have the ear of Adam Webb, might put two and two together and think that Robbie Neilson was a decent contender for the job, assuming Robbie would want to come back to Scottish football. But I think it's wide open. David mentioned Scott Brown's name there. He's obviously here today with Ayr United. You'd wonder if Scott thinks he can take Ayr United up at a time when St Johnstone might be coming down. I don't know, but I think it's a wide open market.
I mean, Fraser, you could just turn around and ask Craig Levein who he thinks will replace him, given he's back out and about. He's behind you in Paisley today.
He is. I was speaking to him earlier on, old teammate of mine at Hearts as well. But I'll keep what he said to myself at the moment. But I was saying to him, you know, where do you think the owner will go? And I think he was basically saying it could be anybody, you know. And I think he's right in a sense of he could go and get somebody from America, you know, and I think all the American owners that have come in have tended to want to put their own stamp on things. All the clubs have almost got to do the managers straight away, so, you know, you could have somebody from America. I think Chabba Robbie Nielsen's one, Tam Court's another one that came to mind as well. There's a whole host of people looking for jobs, but he might just go for something that's a bit random, but yeah, I was talking to Craig a couple of weeks ago, and everything seemed to be fine. He was enjoying it. I was at his game last week, and I was saying to him, they actually played really well in the first half, and I think they've been three players sent off in the last three games as well, which hasn't helped his cause. But I thought he was a bit unlucky. But sometimes new owners come in and just want to put their own stamp on it, so it could be somebody we've never heard of before.
Do we not promote from the Championship that often. I just feel like I can't really remember too many examples, and I'm thinking back to this midweek we opened it up in the phones, and I think someone said Rhys McCabe and someone mentioned John McGlynn, although whether he could be tempted away from High Flying Falkirk or not would be another matter. It feels like, Fraser, that would be an obvious place to look, but we don't. Do we do that very often? It's cut off right on cue. Roger Hanna can answer my question. Great question, as it was as well.
Well, to answer your question, what about David Martindale? I know it was a different St Johnson regime led by Jeff Brown back at the time, but David Martindale was targeted by St Johnson before Craig Levein got the job. Livingston denied him the opportunity to go and speak to St Johnson about the vacancy, but you know, at a time when we quite rightly speak about John McGlynn's taking newly promoted Falkirk to the top of the league, we quite rightly speak about Scott Brown taking Ayr to second place in his first full managerial job in Scotland, but David Martindale, off the desperate blow of relegation, has got Livingston well placed third in the Championship. He knows the low reaches, shall we say, of the Premiership. You wonder if he could be a candidate again, Gordon.
Interesting. Watch this space would be the message, I suppose. We'll see if we get an answer to that this week. The 3 o'clock games are just around the corner, and kickoffs are next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
3 o'clock on a Saturday. Where else would you rather be than having Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans piped right into your ear as we go through the afternoon's football. We've got a couple of games in the Premiership. There are loads in the Championship. We've got League Cup action still to come tonight and tomorrow, so there is a lot to get through. You play a huge part on a Saturday afternoon. We rely on you getting in touch. Whatever it is you've got for us, the best place to send it right now is on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and I will give you the nod when the phone lines are open a bit later on. So at Clyde SSB in the meantime. Right, only let's just do the three games currently. I'm giving you as much of a chance as possible. In the Premiership, St Mirren Hearts, County St Johnstone, and our one featured Championship game is Queen's Park Ayr United. Give us the ACCA, Hugh. Three teams.
Draw. In Paisley, St Mirren Hearts, a draw. Ross County to beat St Johnstone, managerless St Johnstone. And Ayr United, in spite of all their travails, to beat Queen's Park.
Well, unbelievably, Gordon, I'm a man in form. Beat the pundit, I'm 5 out of 5. I'm going for a hat trick. Avaka's up here today, so I'm going to go for Hearts to beat St Mirren, get off the bottom of the table. Ross County to beat St Johnstone, and Ayr to beat Queen's Park.
I cannot believe you've had the cheek to sit in between these two and mention being on form at Beat the Pundit.
You know what? I didn't know this because I didn't listen to the show last night.
We will get to that a bit later on. Let's not spoil the ACCAs, Gordon DL.
Okay, I said earlier I think Hearts are struggling, so I'm going St Mirren home win, Ross County home win, and Queen's Park in the Ayr United a draw.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
And now we wait for the first goal in Scotland during the break, as Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson were adding the finishing touches to their preparation. One of them said Tottenham need a result today. They're 1-0 down inside the first minute.
Oh no, it was me who said it.
Well, it was Ange. I read a quote from Ange this morning where someone was going on about the pressure mounting and how he felt about it, and his reply was, "Take a breath, mate, and do some yoga."
Isn't a Cockney accent?
Not the best impression I've heard.
Talk that London accent quickly.
Michael Caine is the new Spurs manager. I'll tell you who's not hanging about. Jake Dolzanski. Does that name mean anything to you? He's an Elgin City player, and he's been sent off.
Already?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? What has he done?
That has to be...
He must have hooked somebody.
I think it was one of these, like...
You mean punch?
Dogzo, if you're denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. And I think it was one of those.
Ah, oh, brilliant.
That's hard to beat, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That must be the earliest of the season. Have
Listen,
we had any...
he must have a stag night tonight.
You just go down the road then. Is he at home? Elgin at home. You just go down the road, wouldn't you?
Got a goal in the Championship already.
Oh. Who is it?
Wraith 0, Hamilton 1. O'Hara with the penalty in 2 minutes.
My team's struggling. They're really struggling. They're sitting there bottom of the...
the Championship. New managers come in.
Whatever happened to the new manager bounce?
Well, it's certainly not happening up there. But look, we've said it many a times. If you're going to lose one, lose it early.
Elgin are down here, I'll have you know. Clyde.
Oh, I'd be back up the road then. I'd be looking at my car away, away, and home.
He's got a stag night in Elgin. He must have.
There's no stag nights in Elgin. You have you been there?
It's a contradiction in terms. Pub. I have told you my sort of one of my standout memories of that period when Rangers were going to places like Elgin and Peterhead and whatnot, and I would obviously go to work at the games. Elgin's the one that sticks out because it was back in the day where you would send reporter and pundit, even if the grounds were small. So it was me and Jim Duffy all the way to Elgin. Space was tight, and I had to sit directly behind Jim.
I remember that.
That's awkward.
Yeah. So you're having this conversation. What do you make of that, Jim? What do you make of that formation? Just talking to the back of
his head.
His bald head right in front of me. I didn't even have a seat. I was just sat on top of the little box that the radio equipment would come in, just staring at the back of his head, trying to have a conversation.
You missed
with
a trick. You should have popped a pair of sunglasses on the back of his bald head
and some eyes on
the nose.
So anyway, that's forever my Elgin memory.
Well, that was the end of the road for me, wasn't it? That was my last game.
As breaking manager, was it?
Breaking manager. That's where we changed in the shed. Remember the where the
lawnmowers
were? It could be 3-0, and I got sacked on the Monday after training.
I would have sacked you on the Saturday night. Because it's a longer journey down being sacked.
I think they must have felt for me then. I'd have
pulled you into the hut and says, look, we're disposing of your services, on you go.
A couple of big teams in England trailing already. Bournemouth are a goal down at home. Liverpool are a goal down at home to Bournemouth.
Oh, they had a great result
last week.
A goal down at
Nottingham Forest beat them at Anfield last week.
Yeah, but they went over and beat AC Milan quite comfortably in the San Siro.
But two defeats.
Ach, it's early. These are going
weekend.
Too early, boys. Oh, calm your jet.
Right, whilst we wait on our first goal in our featured matches, Hugh Keevans,
let's
bring about some light Saturday afternoon entertainment.
First half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
A touch random this one, but hey ho.
No, I can see the link.
Well,
shoot, carry on.
Right, since 2012, six Swedish players have played for Rangers and Celtic. Who are they? Since 2012. Six Swedish players have played for Rangers and Celtic. Name them.
I like it. Simple as that. At Clyde SSB, Gordon DL, you've got your eyebrows raised. Do you think you can give that one a good go?
No, I didn't really listen to the question, to be
Tell
honest
them again.
With you.
Since season 2012, six Swedish players have played for Rangers and Celtic. Who are they?
So Rangers or Celtic, I think, would be the best way of wording it, to be fair. Rangers or. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's the most surprising thing is there a link every week between what's went on during the week to that question?
Why are you asking?
Uh-huh.
I'm glad I didn't know that. I thought they were just random questions.
No, they sometimes are, but obviously Rangers play Malmo.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
Ah, right, okay.
So, you know.
I thought the link was to Henry Larsson's birthday yesterday.
Oh my word.
That's what I thought the link was. Thank goodness you told me that Rangers are playing Malmo.
It's as good as any.
Well,
Henrik Larsson's birthday yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
It was,
or the day before?
It's the 20th.
Yep.
I didn't know there was a link.
The 20th is one of those weird days when I know loads of people whose birthday is on
20th
the 20th.
September.
So I always know that Henrik Larsson's is part of that for some reason.
How old would Larsson be now?
53, I think I saw it.
Oh, I've never guessed that.
53?
I thought he was a lot younger than that.
53, yeah.
Grey on top now, isn't he? Bit like yourself.
Oh yeah. Well, it's called maturity.
He came in 97. Henrik, signed by Wim Jansen and Mother McLeod in 1997. So it's a fair way back now.
Yeah, I remember because he played against me in the semi-final. Scored.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Hearts have started well. Good chance, Kenneth Vargas. It was a looped header. The keeper probably beaten, but it just loops over the bar. So Hearts could really be doing with a quick start this afternoon. Coming fairly close there. Nicky Clark had a bit of a chance there on the edge of the box for St Johnstone. Maybe just took a bit too long. A slight delay on his attempt at goal, and the chance disappears. It doesn't help when you're St Johnstone. You've got everything going on and you've got two strikers, Mark, who actually do look pretty
good.
Yeah,
they do.
But they're suspended because they keep getting sent off.
Well, that's an incredible bit of bad luck, if you want to put it that way, or stupidity from, yeah, from the strikers. I was amazed. I was listening in and you said that you were nailed on that the one at Easter Road was a red card. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the referees and VAR agreed with me, Mark. So.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Did you not think that was a red?
I thought he was unfortunate.
No.
It doesn't matter whether he's fortunate or unfortunate. St Johnson's next game is Celtic in Perth next weekend. So the new manager, I assume a new manager will be in place by the time they play Celtic. So
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I think this might drag a bit.
You think so?
Well, remember we were having the chat about, was it Aberdeen as well? And that we thought of, you know, one's incoming right away and the owners won't hang about. And that dragged on. Just the sheer lack of, you know, any certainty.
Yeah, you usually get a wee front runner, don't you?
By the way, Roger had a great shout. He's pulled that. Roger's a man to know. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. Roger. Robbie Nielsen is a good shout.
Roger's just doing Robbie Nielsen a favour and keeping him alive. Scotland. Don't listen to that nonsense.
Robbie is basking in the sunshine in America. Yeah. Would you come back?
Absolutely no chance. Absolutely. If you're going well, you're over there in America.
But where is he?
In St.
Tampa
Johnson.
Rowdies or something
matter.
Like that.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Big Cadillac driving in the sun.
A Cadillac. Is it 1950s? You've got the roof down, haven't you?
Yeah, the Cadillac with the music. The Beach Boys.
Would you like to hear what the key match incidents panel made of that red card then that you dispute?
Yeah.
Last week, because now we can do this. I think this is important. I think it's really good that you get the explanation, the accountability. I'm a bit worried that the rabbit hole we're going to go down with this stuff every week and really pouring over the decisions more than ever and not actually talking about football. However, since you asked, Mark Wilson, it said the panel discussed this decision at length with the majority, but a 3-2 split. So close. Yeah. The majority deeming the on-field decision correct. Dundee attacker. No, that's the wrong one. What am I on about here? There we go. Studs showing not in control. Two panellists believed the contact was minimal and didn't deserve a red, but the majority believed there was no need for VAR intervention. So the red card stands.
Can you be too transparent? You know,
I don't think we can have it. We can't have it both ways. We can't spend decades mourning that you never hear any and then moan when we get it. That's so Scottish, and I think that's unfair. However, we've got one of these
goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal St Mirren. St Mirren 1 Hearts 0. Mark O'Hara with the in swinging corner, and there is Richard Taylor at the back post, heads it home, and Hearts problems continue.
What did I tell you about Hearts?
Yep.
They cannot keep clean sheets. They're poor at the back. Shanklin's not scoring. That's a big goal.
Well, if you go back to the Dazzler theory, that if you're going to lose a goal, lose it early. Mm. So we're not yet 15 minutes into the game. However, you cannot be associated with Hearts and tolerate 1 point from 18 if this scoreline becomes the result. So they're walking a tightrope now.
Fraser will get great entertainment there today. There's no doubt. Both teams give up goals. Hearts have already started. St Mirren will give up a goal as well. Can Shanklin start getting his goal scoring boots on again this afternoon? Be interesting to see. But I think Fraser will get plenty of goals there.
Wow, it's going to be an interesting game from here on in. It was interesting anyway. But the Hearts fans running out of patience, you would have to say. So they're going to have to come from behind. Just some goals down the leagues if you're paying attention. East Fife 1 Peterhead 0. That's a top of the table clash, that, in League 2. Dumbarton 0 Montrose 1, scorer of many goals, Kane Hester. There, Tottenham are level. Big Ange doing a bit of yoga on the sidelines there. And nothing else really doing in Scotland at the moment. But that is huge. And you just wonder what sort of response Hearts can offer here, Mark.
Well, it's going to have to be a quick one, I think, because the longer you leave that and your confidence is rock bottom as it is, then you find it incredibly difficult to claw your way back in the game. So they've got so many quality players, you can't help but being surprised at where they are in the league. But I totally agree with you. When you look at it and you go, by the end of the day, you've got 1 point out of 18, and you pair that with everything that's went on in pre-season results and the tail end of last season, that is a big problem. And you just wonder where it leaves
and
Stephen
then
Naismith.
The very long trip to Minsk for their first European tie, to come back, then they've got to go to Pittodrie. You know, if the gap between Hearts and Aberdeen, which is currently 14, if it gets any bigger, then you can just forget all about finishing third, and you'd better concentrate on getting into the top six.
I was speaking to Alex yesterday at the school gates, and he was telling them they're very confident of winning.
Alex
the Gogic.
Oh, Alex, first name. I'm surprised you're not onto Goga.
We give high fives and all that when we meet each other.
Right, now. Okay.
And he was saying today that yesterday at St Mirren were very confident they could get 3 points.
What does that conversation sound like? Confident of a win tomorrow? Yes. Yes, I am. And then you come on radio and report this big exclusive.
You know what? It doesn't even happen. That's just in your head. He actually plays that conversation out, just looking at Gogic, doesn't he? Every 50 yards away. All right, Alex, yes, Gogic.
Well, I think he was thinking that, right? I really do.
Sounds good.
Could see it in his eyes. I'm saying he's thinking that they're confident for tomorrow's game.
Well, one of his former teams, of course, I told you the Ackies led through an early penalty. Do you know the decision was given on 24 seconds?
Wow.
For that penalty for Hamilton Ackies. There's a name that you would not have associated with League One in England, but Tomoki Iwata has scored again for Birmingham. He started really well down there. It was one at the time that maybe was a slight surprise. A lot of Celtic fans felt that he could do a turn, but Ernie Ingles is making them forget about everyone at the moment.
It's amazing how things like that turn, because in transfer deadline day, when there was all sorts of movement, Celtic fans saying still not enough business in, some Celtic fans saying, well, that was a surprise. By the way, I was one of them that says it was a surprise to let Iwata go. But then, what, 2 weeks on? Yeah, not many quibbles about the performance or who's been brought in or, you know, the size and depth of the squad. Football can change very, very quickly. And that's why, even just going back to Hearts, it can change quickly. You get in the game quick today, you win that game and your season's looking a whole lot different.
Word this in a specific way, Hugh, because this doesn't have to really take in the level of opposition and all this debate about the other night. I wonder if Celtic's feel-good factor could be any higher, really, mid-September. I'm sure when you win trophies, your feel-good factor goes through, but mid to late September, I wonder if the overall mood around the place could be any higher.
No, it couldn't. They've had what is the holy grail for the Celtic supporters. They've had an emphatic win over Rangers. They have gone 5 points ahead of Rangers. Aberdeen are on the same points as Celtic, but the Celtic fans pay no attention to that whatsoever, other than thinking that Aberdeen might be second in the league and Rangers third. Then they have the European match. And I listened to the people on this programme prior to the game who were going there in that state of mind. They had been conditioned by Celtic in 12 attempts, never having won the opening game in a Champions League group. And all of a sudden, at 1-0 at half time, you're not overly confident, but in the second half, the way that Celtic played, and even when Slovan Bratislava made it 3-1, with a first class goal, there was no time at all to wonder if this might go wrong in the latter stages, because Daizen Maeda makes it 4, Adamida makes it 5. So the whole night for the Celtic fans was a joyous experience. I read this morning Nicholas Kuhn saying that his relatives at the game were crying because he'd never known emotion like it. So, no, in answer to your question, it was a high watermark for Brendan Rodgers. It was a high watermark for the team. And even the board were congratulated for having pushed that much talked about boat out and bought Arne Ingles.
That's funny, Mark, because you told me before that some of your performances at Celtic made your family cry as well.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know exactly how and Daniel
Kuzan's got a lot to answer for.
Your dad's in floods of tears in the stands, aren't they?
Well, after
a very different feeling. A Rafer level, Gordon, I know you'll be delighted at that.
Yes.
Lewis Stevenson on 15 minutes.
I always support my teams
making
I played for.
Wraith 1.
No, you don't.
Hamilton 1.
I know. Well, if they're down the bottom of the league, I do. I'm not really too concerned about. And nobody will beat my goal scoring record. Just
for 1 week, just try and I'm not just make that, it about you.
I'm just hoping that Ayr don't win the league. That's all I'm saying.
Tell you what, you two will be feeling good about yourselves. So for anyone who missed the show last night or Thursday night, I mean Thursday night, Mission Impossible. Gordon Biel got a 10 out of 10 on Beat the Pundit. And then Hugh Keevans did the same last night.
I can't believe you done that. You shouldn't have even taken it on.
Oh, you think he stole your thunder?
Yeah. I was walking about Asda getting high fives and everything for the public.
Let me tell you, the Dazzler's text to me after I had won was a breach of the Communications Act.
X-rated, was it?
Straightforward breach of the Communications Act.
It's the talk of the town. Scott Allen said he was in the school run yesterday, went to fill up his car, and someone was shouting over, Dazzler got a 10 on Beat the Pundit last night. And then Hugh did it as well. You ran around the studio in
what
delight.
Did Chug do?
He did the Bruni. It was like half Bruni, half it? Jude Bellingham, sort of arms outstretched. He was delighted as well. Oh, what a week you two have had, honestly.
Well, yeah, I when you said to me the first question after I'd beaten the caller was who the Rangers playing next in Europe, and I said Malmo, and I thought I'm going to get this.
See,
they were quite easy to be fair. I heard them.
Yours
were
easy.
No, not at all.
You they're easy. Goal flashes. No way.
With M&D Green Pharmacy. It is Ross County 1 St Johnstone 0, and it is Ronan Hale, a brilliant goal scoring record over in Ireland, came over here. And he has found the back of the net. A nightmare for Kyle Cameron. Passed it straight to Nisbet. He fed Hale with the low finish. And another goal in Paisley. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. But it's an equaliser for Hearts. And it's Craig Halkett. A front post header from Blair Spittle's corner. And it will be subject to a VAR check. Ooh. But if that doesn't come back with anything untoward, we'll have a level game in Paisley and County leading St Johnstone.
Well, a bow to the Dazzler. The Dazzler said there'd be goals.
Goal given, very quick, yep. That one.
So there you are. You know, we're not 25 minutes into the game yet, and it's one apiece. Hearts had to come back. This cannot go on. You simply have to get some kind of positive result, and even a draw for Hearts today would be acceptable. But you cannot record an eighth successive defeat without consequences.
Yeah, and they needed that quick reply right away. Like I was saying moments ago, if you leave that to dwindle on, there's every chance you might just concede that setting. And if you concede a setting, then you are totally out of it and the trouble you're in just now with that confidence. But they've got an equaliser. It'll be a welcome equaliser for Stephen Naismith. I still think they'll go on to win that.
Do you?
I do.
I think there'll certainly be goals. I don't think any of the two teams are particularly strong in defence. I think they'll create chances, both teams, and I think it's whoever takes the most chances will win the game. And I think it'll be St Mirren, home advantage.
Whoever gets this St Johnstone job, he's not exactly falling into a bed of roses, is he? I mean, they're poor. And the best players are undisciplined and sitting on the bench watching matches or sitting in the stand watching matches.
Rogers just received a text from Robbie Nielsen saying, keep my name at your lips.
But all of a sudden, though, a long way to go, but Ross County all of a sudden,
I was going to say,
a couple of wins.
Hugh's right, terrible against Spartans going out, and they were abysmal at Hampden. But you think of their game against Aberdeen, that Aberdeen won. With that Kevin Nisbet 90 plus minute winner,
I think
they were okay in that game. They had a goal ruled out as well, and then last week against Dundee, and they're up and running today. So Don Cowie's doing not too bad at home.
A win today and they go above the mighty well and join Dundee United in joint fourth place.
A reminder of your teaser, please, Hugh, if you can.
Since 2012, six Swedish players have played for Rangers or Celtic. Name them.
Okay, at Clyde SSB. What have we got coming in here? Most of you are giving it a real good go. Wonder if it's one of those days where there's actually more on your list, because there's one that worries me in a steward's inquiry type fashion.
Many you got? Four?
I've got four. We've got four definites. We know that, Hugh.
Yeah.
Don't even try and take any of those away.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes.
I've got a fifth, but I can't spell it.
Have you?
Can I spell it?
Go for it. Just I'll try and decipher what you write down. Or draw a picture of him.
I'll draw the picture.
Anyway, we can get back to that. We can worry a bit more about it later on, because I think there might be a seventh, if I'm being honest. I'm having a wee look here.
Is he Swedish? I think he is.
Maybe, aye. I think
he was born.
We'll get him in.
He was born just south of Malmo.
You were searching for a Swedish city, weren't you? You just went for Malmo.
Oh, I couldn't think of another one.
There we are. Is that one? If I spelled that right.
Yes!
Well done. So we're waiting in one.
5 out of 6.
We're happy with that.
From what year is it again?
2012.
Okay, that's good actually. There was one there that worried me, but I don't think. It's a bit sneaky. This guy played twice in 2012.
Well, that counts.
So we're going to have to throw a seventh one in. If you're being official about it.
Hugh, come on, Hugh.
Only played twice in 2012 here before leaving. So
who did he play with?
Celtic.
Who's that, Mark? You should know.
Mark knows him.
No. Do you? Oh, aye, I'll know him.
Let's see.
Silence on here.
Brilliant.
Think it's him?
Yeah, that's him.
Maybe.
You're getting accused of cheating for your 10.
Oh? Who? That's terrible.
Aye.
You, Gordon Deal. Jason says I'm
fed up with these people. Do you know what I mean? I'm really fed up with them. I was really
they build
happy
you up to pull
I,
you back down.
I was really happy yesterday, Mark. I was getting good vibes for people in Asda when
vibes.
I was in doing my show.
Vibes. Yeah. Right.
I was getting a lot of plaudits, but these people are so jealous. I wish they would just go off the train.
Well, why don't we settle this? Why don't you play Hugh Keevans right now and see who can be crowned
the ultimate
champion? One of you just go out the studio.
Aye, king of the pundits.
Right now.
I'm nearest the door. I'll go out
right
now.
You go first. You go into that little airlock bit in there. So that you can't hear us. Producer Ross, keep him in there, because if he goes out, he might hear us in the office.
This must be the first we've done this.
Of course.
You help me.
No, don't you dare. No chance. You can get out as well if you're going to behave
like that. No, I'm not.
Well,
I didn't agree yet.
Right, come on.
Right.
I
bet you I get none.
It's you against Hugh Keevans.
Right, okay.
For the ultimate accolade. You both got 10s this week. We never play Beat the Pundit on a Saturday. You up for this?
Yeah, go.
You're 30 seconds on
the
clock. Your time starts now. Who was the only goal scorer in last season's League Cup final?
Ida.
How many Scottish teams has Greg Taylor played for?
Greg Taylor played with 2.
Who was the last Chelsea player to be capped for Scotland?
Oh, John Spencer.
Before St Mirren, who was the last Scottish Premiership side Greg Kilty played for?
Kilmarnock.
Who did Celtic sign Alistair Johnson from?
Toronto.
Before kickoff today, name any sides unbeaten in the Championship.
Falkirk.
Okay, bring him back. Let's welcome in Hugh Keevans and see
how did I do this?
Who the ultimate winner is going to be. Are you ready, Hugh Keevans?
I am.
Same set of questions.
You'll struggle, chuggy.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name the only goal scorer in last season's League Cup final.
Struggling.
Ah, that's unfair. Jota.
How many teams in Scotland has Greg Taylor played for?
2.
Who was the last Chelsea player to be capped for Scotland?
Billy Gilmer.
Before St Mirren, name the last Scottish Premiership side Greg Kilty played for.
Pass.
Who did Celtic sign Alistair Johnson from?
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Before kickoff today, name any sides currently unbeaten in the championship.
United.
Okay, okay.
How can this be fair when he shouts throughout the whole thing?
That's ridiculous.
This is bad delivery on a Thursday.
That's more than 30 seconds. Oh, by the way, I can't believe Billy Gilmore.
I can't believe the two of yous went for the League Cup.
I know. The only goal scorer in last season's League Cup was James Tavernier.
Oh, the League Cup.
The League Cup.
Oh no.
Greg Taylor has played for two Scottish teams. You both got it. Hugh Keevans got Billy Gilmore and goes one in front. However, you equalised straight away. Greg Kilty,
two.
Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
You're level. None of you were right. Alistair Johnson signed from Montreal.
That's what I said.
Both of you knew Falkirk, Livy or Ayr were undefeated in the championship, which means
it's a tiebreaker.
Oh, a tiebreaker.
Come on, Shuggy.
It's great excitement.
I'm loving this.
Unbelievable.
See if I beat this old guy here.
So ageist as well as a rowdy.
A battle of the OAPs, isn't it?
Come on, Gordy.
I don't even have the tense music for you, but don't worry about that.
Did I get a ball?
Here is your full time, your tiebreaker, sorry. How many goals have the Scotland men's national team scored ever?
Ever?
Write it down, please. How many goals have the Scotland men's team scored ever? Hugh Keevans, write it down, show me your paper. Gordon, show me it. Same time, quick. You're both absolutely is that a six or an eight at the end of yours?
Whatever you want.
You're both absolutely miles off.
You've been double yours.
Gordon has gone 248. And you've gone
487.
In like ever.
Uh-huh.
Ever.
Oh, we're not a big scoring nation.
We're bigger than that.
We've never scored a lot of the
what
Euros.
What if I told you that the answer is 1,420, which means Kivo is the winner, the undisputed king.
Oh, no, I think I had a one in front of that.
In the studio, well done.
I
to
don't
you.
Like this sort of question. Have we scored that many goals?
150 years worth of international football.
I didn't know that. We didn't score a lot of the Euros.
150 years.
Well, you were hardly any better.
I was twice the number that Dazzler.
Oh, I don't like them.
That would have been a good way of doing it, I reckon. 10 a year.
Yeah.
Over that period would have been an okay way of doing it. You'd have been pretty close.
Ah,
but anyway,
that would have been clever. I should have beat you. I should have got Gilmore. I cannot believe I never got Billy.
It went John Spencer.
Spenny.
Anyway, just a reminder, if you're taking part in that first half teaser out there, the answer is there are seven players we're looking for, not six, because one sneaked in with two appearances in 2012 before he headed off. So there we go. Tottenham are beating Brentford now, by the way.
Oh,
Ange
yeah.
Ball back in front. Liverpool are winning because Bournemouth's goal was ruled out.
Oh, was it?
Initially, so it was 1-0 there. And Villa, brilliant in the Champions League, but losing at home to Wolves currently. So any other goals to tell you about in Scotland? Our featured matches, big game in Paisley, St Mirren 1 Hearts 1, Craig Halkett equalising after Richard Taylor had put St Mirren in front. Ronan Hale has Ross County in front against managerless St Johnstone. A quiet day in the championship, but for Raith 1 Hamilton 1. Nothing major developing down the leagues either. If there's any huge score lines or anything really of note jumping out from the Lowland League or whatever else, will try and bring you them as well.
But Celtic would take a bit of heart from that Villa performance against Young Boys, because you know they're playing them in Bern, and they wiped the floor with them, and they've got to go to Celtic Park. I know that Celtic go to Villa Park in their very last game, but Celtic would hope that they would have sealed their position in the last 16 by then.
Just because we're getting a bit closer, let's finalise it once and for all, Hugh. Read your teaser again, please. I don't want people to miss out.
Yes, since 2012, six Swedish players have played for either Celtic or Rangers.
Seven. We're looking
for seven.
We are looking for seven. Most of you are getting in the right ballpark anyway, so I've got faith that we'll get a full podium on that one.
So we've got six. So it's the seventh one that only
Played twice,
are you saying?
Oh, don't get me wrong, one of the other answers wouldn't have played much either. But the one that was missing from the list, shall we say.
Is he a winger?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay, it's a goalkeeper.
Oh,
I know who it is.
Okay.
The big Celtic goalkeeper.
The big Swede.
Big Swede.
Big Swedish guy.
It's a goalkeeper, isn't it?
Tommy Ikea.
Yeah.
No, it's not a goal. It's not a goalkeeper.
Is it not?
Not the one I'm thinking of, no. Anyway, we can get back to that. County definitely improving, according to David Friel. there are... Oh, this is interesting because I saw this on one of the video printer type things. Fraser Wishart's telling me St Mirren's goal might have come off Gerald Taylor last and be an own goal. But when I saw it in the video printer, it said Taylor own goal, and I'm thinking, oh, they've just got that wrong. Richard Taylor plays for St Mirren. The two Taylors.
Yeah.
Be a real sore one for me if it was a Gerald Taylor own goal, because he's in my fantasy football team, I think. Can't remember if I binned him after his early season collapse.
Exactly, we looked at him in the first game of the season, Hearts Rangers at Tynecastle, and came to the conclusion that Hearts had picked themselves a plum. But he's not turned out that way.
He's been poor.
Maybe he's better against the bigger sides, because I actually thought he was decent against Celtic. Last week as well, having done well against Rangers. But yeah, a few ropey moments in between.
Old Tony Bennett line that. Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
Right over my head.
I love Tony Bennett,
I have to say.
What was the one you loved with Lady Gaga in concert? Was it him?
Yeah.
I always remember you telling me about that. I've yet to find it.
Oh, believe me, it's sensational.
I can just imagine. Bottle of red.
Oh yeah.
Feet up. Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett in concert on the telly.
Oh yeah. I told you last night, Lady Keevans of Bearsden, we had the caller from Turkey, and he was waiting to go to the karaoke, and he called us last night, and his party piece was Saturday Night at the Movies. And I had
Drifters.
Yeah, that's my wife's party piece.
But on the show.
He phoned in.
Yeah. Was he over again? Teeth or a hairdo?
No, he's there to get hammered.
And he sung.
Oh, he was this guy. You could tell he took it serious. He said, "Listen, I've not got long. I'm going to the karaoke. I've got my name up." And he was going in, and he had. I said, "What's your song?" And he gave me two.
All right.
So that's when I can't remember the second one, but something similar sort of
genre. Yeah. Do you know what has
been bothering me? What was Scott Allen's karaoke song?
I'll tell you exactly.
Because I was really impressed with the choice.
Lost in Music by Sister Sledge.
So it was.
Lost in Music.
Kept me awake that last night.
That's a hard one to sing, isn't it?
I don't know why, but I genuinely woke up this morning thinking, what was the song that Scott Allen said he sang in karaoke?
Aye. That's a difficult number to handle. Yeah.
What's yours? It's a good choice.
I can turn my hand to most.
No, you come out with a funny one the last
did
time.
I can't remember.
Did you ever get your Oasis tickets, by the way?
I got them. I'll be there. Don't worry about that.
Bit of a stop start game now for Fraser Wishart. Oh, no, it's not, because we've got one of these.
There we go. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. One of the informed strikers anywhere in the Premiership, Toyosi Olosanya, has scored, and it's St Mirren 2, Hearts 1.
I told you. I'm telling you now, these two teams will score more goals this afternoon. Fraser is in for a terrific game.
I have to give you credit for that, Dazzler. You called that one correctly.
Can't defend you.
Why is that? See, when you look at Hearts' makeup, I know we're talking about Taylor, but you look at them, you know, everybody else, and you look at the goalkeepers they've got. I think
he shifts from a back three to a back four, and I don't think he's got any sort of a stability in the back of the defence.
I think we have to talk more about Toyosi Olosanya. 6 for the season in all competitions, 4 in the league, 3 in a row for a guy who at the end of the season before last was on loan at Arbroath and has come back to St Mirren and really, really doing the business for Stephen Robinson's side in front of goal.
Yeah, unbelievable. And you know what, he's got real competition for places. But and sometimes that's what you need. You need somebody just behind you, knowing that you've got to do it every single week. St Mirren will be fine if you've got him in form and scoring goals every week.
Since you called this correctly, in this welter of goals that we've already had, and there are more to come, you say,
yeah,
does Lon Shankland ever get the first goal of the season?
No, I know. He'll be desperate for a goal, won't he? As a striker, when you start the season, you want the first one. And the longer it goes, it does start playing on your mind. As Roger Hanna sitting at Hampden with sun cream on his head, rubbing that in. because I think Queen's Park, for score wise, you're not in a buzzer.
No, he is, but I was just digesting that scenario right. For you first.
Desperate. Have I got Rochus?
With M&D Green Pharmacy. Queen's Park 1-0 up against Ayr, and it's Cammy Kerr with a header at the back post, deep corner, 35 minutes. And there was Cammy Kerr with the header. Have you seen him?
No.
Since he got back, what a suntan on him. Roger,
why you should sit in the sun when he's lying on the beach. Stands up, he's got to duck.
Truly mahogany.
Is he? Does he take a good tan?
I didn't have him down as someone who particularly would, but he
me
was.
Neither.
Where was he?
The sun, I think. Like the actual.
See, I.
Mexico.
I
found
think
Mexico.
I could still see Roger on the beach with shirt and tie on.
He's thong.
100%.
What? There's no need for
he's
that.
He's so lunchtime. Full shirt and tie.
A belly flap all over the place. Here he comes. Here's a Hannah man. Big red thong. Here we go.
What is going on?
He's put the collar in. He's
specified as red.
I told you, he's got a fascination with breaching the Communications Act. We're all going to prison. Everybody's got that in their head now.
That is disturbing.
There's got to be an artist or somebody that can mock up that illustration for
stop
us.
Stop it. Don't
send that in.
Please don't.
What's the Twitter handle again?
Hugh, this used to be a. Send that this in. Is a once proud exactly. Broadcasting yes, establishment.
This was a broadcasting institution.
Yeah.
He's now turned it into some other kind of institution.
You give Roger it tight. Surely he's got a right to reply.
Ryan Leake has fired over after a set piece for Ross County. Probably should have done better. They do lead St Johnstone by a goal to nil. Good game there in Paisley. St Mirren 2-1 up on Hearts. Yeah, Olasanya getting on that loose ball into the box.
Yeah, you're quite right to highlight Olasanya's recent record. But also, at the same time, the pressure has swung back on Stephen Naismith and these Hearts players, because they cannot come away from Paisley not having taken at least 1 point from that game.
Wraith 2-1 up, sorry, on Hamilton. Ooh. Thing I love about the Olasanya goal, just innocently described as getting onto a loose ball, but Mark, see the desire he shows to get on the end of loose. He always seems to be on the end of them.
Good attributes.
It's no accident. And the number of goals he scores where a defender is facing their own goal and the ball's bouncing and he wants it more than them and nicks it off them.
Well, the instinct, that's a striker's instinct. The guy to the left of me will tell you a bit about that. But he has got the attributes as well. He's big, he's strong, he's quick. Nightmare to play against, it looks like. And if he gets the service, he will score goals.
He's playing with confidence, Mark, because he's got off and running. He's scoring goals. He can't wait for the next game to come along because he thinks, give me a chance, I'll score a goal. That's why it's so important for Shanklin to get off the mark. I know that he's used to maybe going sort of begin the season not scoring a lot of goals, and then he comes with a run. I think he done that last year, Gordon, didn't he? Didn't score many up to about October or something, and then he comes with a great run, but he will be desperate to get a goal.
I like how you just clarified that it was Gordon Deal that was on your left that knows about scoring goals and not Hugh Keevans. Bearing
left
mind
that up to the listeners.
We're not live streaming on a Saturday.
Left that up to the listeners to judge.
Do you think people care? Do you think people have ever wondered actually what's the formation in here?
Yeah. Oh, of course
on a Saturday
would.
Because it's set in stone. It's consistent. Yeah. I am obviously on one side of the desk. We all stand. Mark Wilson's right there at 12 o'clock, right in front of me. Yeah. Got Hugh Keevans at a sort of 10 o'clock. I'm Gordon Deal at a 2 o'clock.
Two.
I would say
I don't know how I got this position though. All those years ago, how I got put here, because
you're in the short straw. Because you
am.
Need to look at me, and you can't see the telly.
Can't
behind
see the telly, and there's a big camera. I don't know what this is in front of me that blocks most of my view. So
that's how I would never camera. Stand there. Shush! That's just put me off.
Gordon Dale is panicking. Yeah. In case he thinks he's getting a speeding ticket through the door, basically, which is
and it's no fault of mine. Right, that wasn't you. Absolutely, I'm innocent.
What road are we talking? Because our listeners will know this stuff. Our listeners will know what cameras are more likely to get you than others. Where are you?
I was coming down from St Andrews.
Jeez, that's a long road.
Kirkcaldy East, is it?
Right.
On the 92 all the way to the 4th Road Bridge.
So coming back from St Andrews.
Yeah.
You're doing 92.
I know exactly what one you mean.
Yeah.
Nah, I think you're fine.
No, I've
It does change a couple of times, doesn't it? the speed limit there?
It doesn't. It's
I think
a 70.
It does.
No. Okay.
So this sums this guy up. When I met him the other morning, he says, "Oh, I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted. I've got a speeding ticket, and
so
I've been done."
You don't even know,
right? No. But he's speeding. He's down the dumps, and I'm like, "Ah, oh, well then." I said, "When did you get it?" "I've not got it through yet." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I think I've been done." But he was devastated.
I couldn't sleep on Sunday night.
A negative thinker. He was on about it again
the
day.
I wasn't even speeding.
If it's not through, you know what? Don't even pay it. See if it does come through. Don't even.
I'm not sure we can. I'm not sure we can offer that type of advice on the show.
No.
I think
I'm legally obliged.
I'm legally obliged to ask you to take that back.
I will withdraw that for most of our listeners. Just see case. What happens to you.
I heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
Officer.
Like those parking tickets.
You always see people saying that, don't you? Don't get yourself.
I know.
Don't say something you'll regret. But keep us posted, will you?
No,
let us know if it comes through.
I reckon I've got 6 more sleeps.
He's looking for the postman at his window every day.
Oh, it was a nightmare. I'd seen the brown envelope this morning. I was no, here we go. But it was a check.
A good brown envelope.
I've never had a check in years.
A check?
A check.
What'd you get a check for?
Hugh still writes them every week.
Honestly, it's the first check I've ever had in years and years.
Who's sending checks?
I got it from somebody. £14.64.
Morton 1,
Airdrie
0. I'm just trying to interrupt your nonsense. Delaney with the goal. Well, you see, this
is why Rhys McCabe and the St Johnson job, you know, is not really a topic of conversation. I thought it was outstanding for Airdrie, but he's hit a lull, if I can put it that kindly way, and he has to come back out of that. His stock is not high at the moment, while St Johnson are looking for a new manager.
Yeah, well, we'll keep an eye on it. It's still time to try and turn that one around, but clearly not an ideal run of form as things stand. Are we going to get anything else? Yes, we have, just before the break. Let's do this.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Equaliser for managerless St Johnston, as they are referred to these days. Dre Wright, he's at the edge of the box. You know the one, the corner comes out to him, and he fires in to make it level game just before the break. Ross County 1, St Johnston 1.
Well, good for Andy Kirk. As I say, next game Celtic at home. They would like to take something from Dingwall, and then we'll see if there is a new manager or if Andy Kirk continues and he faces Brendan Rodgers.
Always wonder about that dynamic. You know, a manager goes, the assistant takes over. Is there much difference?
Yeah.
Starcy's son,
down the bench,
cousin to the goalie. But I wonder if much changes from when Craig Levein sat to the tactics to the team selection. Was that the same team that Craig Levein would have played? So it's a weird one. If they get a win, then of course Andy Kirk deserves all the credit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with putting your son in the team right away.
No,
I
mean, that's not he's good enough. Of course, he came on and has come on and done well in recent weeks. It's not like he's brought him from
playing the PlayStation.
What would you call him in the restroom, boss or da?
Oh,
that's a good unit.
You got to call him dad, surely.
Oh, he can't get in the dressing room.
No,
all right, dad.
Your dad.
No,
it's a bit different if it's your uncle or something like that. You'd call him gaffer. If it's your dad, you can't. You calling him Gav?
I'm calling. I don't know.
Boss.
No, my.
I don't know. Who's there? David Freelas.
My
David
grandson Freelas is taught by his mother, and in the class he says, "Please, miss mum.
Please, miss mum. Please, boss,
really?
Dad."
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah. That's the nightmare scenario.
Talking about teachers, I was in the gym yesterday, and an old fella approached me. And he's
delighted you've just referred to him as that.
Ah, well, you'll get his age in a minute. He said, Paul. And he comes up to me and he said, "Paul." I said, no. He says, "What's your first name?" I went, "Mark." He went, "Oh, Mark, Bernard Fagan. I'm your old headmaster for St Ambrose."
Good to see you, remember.
He says, "It's great seeing you again, and you've done well." And I said, thanks very much, Mr Fagan." But he says, "I'm 80 years old now." 80 years old, and he's still in the gym in the David Lloyd, running away. Yeah.
And almost recognise him.
But call me Paul. Paul Wilson.
Good to see you left. Paul Wilson.
He played with Sheldon.
I know. He says, sorry, I got you mixed up.
Late penalty check for Ross County. Oof. For the goalie on Jordan White. Not given though. And it's half time in our featured championship game at Hampden Queen's Park against Ayr. Roger Hanna.
And it's Queen's Park 1, Ayr United 0 at the break. It was a very dour and drab first half hour here at the National Stadium. And it was actually Ayr United that showed best first. Gordon G. Henderson having a corner smuggled away at the near post. Then another set-piece delivery that somehow fizzed across the six-yard box with no takers in the Ayr attack. Ben Dempsey, the Ayr captain, then fired over the top after 20 yards. Dempsey been the only booking of this first half for an early foul. But then Queen's Park in 35 minutes suddenly came to life. Josh Hines making his first start, fed Roddy McGregor, his shot pushed round the post by Ayr's debutant goalkeeper Liam Russell. But from that, the Zoltan corner taken by McGregor, the opening goal came in right across the 6 yard box. Nobody intercepted it at all, and there was Cammy Kerr up from right back to head home at the back post, his first ever goal for Queen's Park. Ayr's response has been good. Jake Hasty burst clear, his cross comes short, hit George Oakley while the centre forward was in an offside position, and then skipper Dempsey firing in a low shot that had to be tipped round the post by the Queen's Park goalkeeper Callum Ferry. Ayr will be disappointed with the way they've played so far. Scott Brown will clearly need more energy and more dynamism in the second half. Queen's Park probably just about worthy of the lead. Queen's Park 1, Ayr United 0.
Big second half coming up there. What about this one as well for David Friel in the Highlands, Ross County against St Johnston?
Yeah, half time, Gordon. Ross County won, St Johnston won. I was actually just about to talk about St Johnston's struggles continuing. Don't have the manager after Craig Levine being sacked, but Jay Wright is levelled just before the break. Bit of a shock equaliser, but something to build on for St Johnston. Don Cowie's Ross County have certainly been the better team. They've had more of the ball, better chances. St Johnston, by comparison, have been pretty limited. They're missing the band duo of Kimpioka and Sidibe. I think that was always expected. But Jay Wright's goal is holding back into the game. We'll see what happens in the second half. Ronan Hale put County ahead. It was actually the first shot on target in the game, 19 minutes. And it came from a bad pass from St Johnston captain Kyle Cameron. He's a bit slack trying to find one of the midfielders, Justin is, but he's been really good. He nipped into the ball, found Hale at the edge of the box. He still had a fair bit of work to do, but he stayed calm to find the bottom corner for a really, really good finish. Hale then had another chance to make it 2-0 in 40 minutes. Ball fell to him inside the box, it kind of ricocheted towards him. He thought he was going to score, but this time he fired wide. Ryan Leake also blazed over the bar from inside the box. And Johnston, they hadn't really threatened that much, a couple of set pieces, but had offered very little. But then they seemed to have a wee flurry before the break. Matt Smith had a shot blocked, Jay Wright had a shot blocked, and then from a corner, Jay Wright was in the right place, 20 yards out, just hammered the ball through a Forrester legs, and it found the back of the net. County then had a penalty claim turned down. Jordan White went down inside the box, the referee was having none of it, and I think this one is still in the balance. Now, half time, Ross County 1, St Johnston 1.
Nothing in Paisley yet. It's keeping us waiting. It's the big game of the day down here, and it's delivered the most drama as well. So we'll speak to Fraser Wishart as soon as we can. There were 4 minutes added. I think we're round about at the end of that now. So whilst we wait, just a quick one. Level game in the Highlands, plenty to play for in the second half.
Yeah, it sounds a decent game. We're saying Don Cow's got them going okay up there, but Andy Kirk will be delighted to get an equaliser. Old cliche, just before half time, changes your team talk. Be interesting to see which way that one goes in the second period.
Yes, looking forward to finding out actually. But Fraser Wishart is about to join us. Of course, it's always a minimum of 4 minutes added. Quite a nervy 6 minutes added at Fir Park last night, I have to say. And then Motherwell scored within that, so you know it's going to go on a bit longer. I'm sure I saw you heading for the exits just around that
point. I always leave early,
just like a minute or two
to get away from the traffic.
Or was he not doing your plan? Was he not coming for extra time, just leaving the house? Remember, you said
someone actually asked me that, said,
and the goals went turned and went back home.
Gordon just about to arrive.
I was there all night.
Half time in Paisley, Fraser.
Yeah, St Mirren 2, Hearts 1. That's a good game to watch, actually. Plenty going on, really competitive, number of yellow cards. But Hearts have played well in spells, but find themselves 2-1 down. As Saints scored 2 set-piece goals. Looks like it might have been an own goal by Gerald Taylor and Olasanya. And in between, Hearts also scored from a corner by Craig Halkett. Hearts started the game very well. Vargas pacing behind, causing Saints problems in 5th minute.
Ooh, we lost Fraser Wishart there, didn't we?
Shankland kept a Penrice cross alive. The opener came at the other end. It was a simple goal. Marco Hara with the in-swinging corner from the left. Good pace on the ball. Richard Taylor jumped with his namesake, Gerald Taylor. And everyone was celebrating as Richard Taylor ran away as the ball ended up in the back of the net. He used real good strength, but it might have hit Gerald Taylor and gone into the back of the net with the last touch. Hearts responded really well, though, Grant.
Ah, we'll put Fraser out of his misery. We got most of it. We got there. We got that Taylor equaliser. What we didn't get was the Olasanya goal that's put St Mirren back in front. But we'll do a full roundup of the halftime scores, and I will give you the winner and the answers to the first half teaser after these.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores in the Scottish Premiership: Ross County 1, St Johnstone 1 and St Mirren 2, Hearts 1. In the Championship: Morton 1, Airdrie 0, Partick Thistle 0, Dunfermline 0, Queen's Park 1, Ayr United 0 and Raith Rovers 2, Hamilton Accies 1. In Scottish League 1, Alloa 0, Kelty 0, Arbroath 0, Annan 0, Dumbarton 0, Montrose 1, Inverness 0, Cove Rangers 1 and Stenhouse Muir 0, Queen of the South 0. In League 2, it's Clyde 0, Elgin 0, East Fife 2, Peterhead 0, Forfar 1, Stranraer 1 and Stirling Albion 0, Bonnyrigg Rose 1. Of course, 2 Scottish League Cup quarterfinals to come a bit later on, so stay tuned for the build up to those. And before we go any further and get back to the second half, Hugh, let's do this.
The first half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The question we asked was, since 2012, 7 Swedish players have played for Rangers or Celtic. Can you name them? They were for Rangers Philippe Helander, Mervin Cilic, and for Celtic, Gustav Lagerbielka, Carl Starfelt, John Guidetti, Mikael Lustig, and the 7th was
Daniel Mustorovic. Well done if you got them all right. The man who bullied Mark Wilson out of his seat in the dressing room because he was too scared to ask him to move over. It is Daniel Mustorovic.
Big legs he had.
Just used to sit and spread his legs. And Mark Wilson used to sit cowering in the corner. There we go. Well done, loads of you got it right. Derek FM in third, Wee Scooch in second, and Matondo the winner, the gold medalist. The second halves are coming up next.